Well, hello everyone. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I hope this video finds you well and healthy. First of all, this is a brief go show, and it touches on something I wanted to talk to all of you about. First of all, deep appreciation for your participation. Every day, it seems we gain a new person in our sangha, somebody who subscribes to this channel, or makes a donation through Patreon or through PayPal directly. And I get emails of you, those of you who send me emails, not only congratulating me on my practice and our channel growing, but also your consonant description of your own practice, and it's just validating. Your participation is amazing and immeasurable in my practice. So thank you for that. And in that regard, this Go Show couldn't have been timed out more perfectly. This is a very brief letter written by Nichiren from Minobu, 1278, sent to Kamakura to all of his sangha in that area to be read amongst all of them. So it's that kind of a little letter. Evidently, what was happening at the time, and as you know, there's a lot of civil strife and war and famines, and Japan is just in a mess at this point. It's already been attacked by the Mongols a few times, and finally, the leadership has decided, okay, Nichiren has converted a lot of the Japanese people, even though our samurai forces and our power and all of the people, all of his followers that we've incarcerated, taken their lands, or even killed, hasn't deterred the people from listening to Nichiren and what he has to say. And darned if he doesn't make some strong points about what's been happening to Japan and our leadership in view of the Lotus Sutra and his doctrine, his teachings of Buddhism in general. So obviously our samurai can't silence him and isn't strong enough to sway people away from him. So let's have a debate. And there's a long history of this in Buddhism. The debates, as I've said before, are public affairs, so people don't, the leadership doesn't lightly enter into these kind of situations, lest they feel pretty confident that he can finally put rebellions of sorts to rest, right? Because Nichiren is certainly seen as an upstart and a rebellious one at that, and they need to shut him up. So there, and obviously, these other schools, these other teachers who, you know, promulgate the traditions of the past and seem to feel at this point, as I would imagine, quite, I won't say bold, but confident that they can put to rest this Nichiren fellow. So the government is putting together a major debate with not just one school against Nichiren, but all of the current schools. They're all going to, like a panel, going, okay, how do you answer this and how do you answer this? And obviously we're superior and we're finally going to shut you up, right? So Nichiren sees this as like, oh, I've been asking for this for decades, right? Finally, because he knows his scholarship and his knowledge of Buddhism, he can easily take apart these other schools. So he writes this letter to his sangha, to his followers, basically an encouragement. And of course, he's sort of rallying their support, right, through Buddha-ness, through the power of our Itai Doshin, many in body and one in mind. So this was written directly to, well, it doesn't say exactly who, but it's a response So maybe as a group they sent him some offerings, but let's get into it. Your messenger, and this is reply to the followers, so they must have en masse sent him something. So your messenger, who left on the 19th day of the third month, arrived here with your letter at the hour of the dog, 7 to 9 p.m., on the 21st. Now, Nitrin's lifelong meditation and desire will be achieved in an instant. And this fits the Buddha's prediction regarding the fifth 500 years, just as one half of a tally matches the other. In the end, if the slanderous proponents of the true word, Zen, and other schools are summoned and brought together to confront me, and right and wrong are decided, the people of Japan will all become my disciples and lay supporters. In other words, followers of the Lotus Sutra. Of my disciples, the monks will become teachers to the emperors, which has been his goal all along, and retired emperors, while the lay believers will be ranked as the ministers of the left and right. And moreover, everyone in the entire land of Jambudvipa will come to revere this teaching, the teaching of the Lotus Sutra, right? What happiness, Nichiren. So, as you may or may not know, depending on how many videos you've watched on this channel, Nichiren's reformation of Buddhism in Japan, his plan, his tactic, if you will, was based on his perception that he could, as a monk, start teaching people, the people of Japan, how to practice Buddhism correctly, how to practice the Lotus Sutra as the ultimate teaching of Shakyamuni's 50-some years of teaching. Or he could start at the top and convert, if you will. I don't know if conversion is the right word, but I guess that's how we'd have to look at it. He'd have to change the mind of the leadership of Japan, which wasn't always one person, right? Because there were still kind of a feudal, even the shogunate being the seat of government, dealt with landowners, powerful elites throughout Japan. So it's kind of broken up. Although there is one leadership, there is an appeasement and a negotiation with other fiefdoms, right? So his idea was, if I teach the people of Japan, we live in a shogunate samurai government that is extremely authoritarian and rules by force. And by force, I mean, I don't like what you're saying, off with your head. Or, I don't like what you're saying, I'm taking all your lands, I'll take your women, and I'll put these into concubine and servitude, and I'll put you in a box, and nobody will hear from you anymore. So torture, assassination, this is the government of Japan in the 13th century, right? But at the time, the Japanese people, largely illiterate because they're just working farms, and so you have the literati, which are the controlled by the, they're basically the leaders of these schools of Buddhism or nationalism, and they're the very much the controlling sociological force in Japan, while the shogunate is the ruling authority of might and authoritarianship. So they're the rule of law, if you will, while the literati, the teachers of Buddhist schools, are the keepers of tradition and right-mindedness. So that's the two-pronged governmental system, right? So Nichiren didn't think about this very long before he realized, I can change the minds of the people, but they'll just get slaughtered. I won't be able to correct the path of Buddhism by constantly working from the bottom of this pyramid of power. I need to convert the people at the top, because as they become enlightened or awakened, of awakened mind, correct practice, so too fall huge swaths of the populace. They just do what they're told, right? So we need to control the teller, not the listener, because they don't have the power to change the thinking of the elite and the leadership. So Nichiren's reformations and the reason why he was so persecuted, quite frankly, is because he made so much noise at the top of the pyramid. They didn't like being told they were wrong, or they were ineffectual, or that they were bringing demise to the country. Don't, who the hell are you to tell me that, right? So Nichiren incurred a lot of even attempts on his life, right? Not, I mean, formal attempts. Behead that man, right? And yet he kept his sangha, his followers. His inspiration was countrywide. So this became an untenable situation for the leadership in the midst of invaders and famine and other problems. I'm sure they were somewhat curious to finally hear what Nichiren had to say, but I also think that a great motivator in creating this panel to debate him was to hopefully finally silence him, because they got enough going on. They don't need to deal with this dissenter, right? But from Nichiren's point of view, finally, this is why he says, what I've been meditating upon all this time happening, it's finally happening. All he's ever railed for, fought for, is an audience, a public audience, a debate with these other schools, with the elite, the government of Japan, to demonstrate his knowledge, his scholarship, and redress the erroneous views and miscellaneous, misleading doctrines adopted by these traditions that are no longer valid, if they ever were, because many of them, you know the story. So he's telling all these people he's been working on at the bottom of this power pyramid, look, it's coming. And when it happens, because I will emerge victorious in this battle, your fates will change instantly. Where you have been persecuted and your life in danger all these years, you will now be meritorious in the scheme of government and Japanese people's fortunes and so forth. Things are radically going to change. Those of you who are monks, following the Lotus Sutra and my doctrine, you'll become important ministers in the government. You'll replace these other teachers, and you'll be able to widely distribute Myoho Renge Kyo. And those of you who are lay people, you will become respect worthy and even attain positions of within the government. So we will, in one fell swoop, will topsy-turvy this whole thing, which is what needs to happen if we're going to survive, if Japan will survive these onslaughts and change our fortune and so on and so forth. To me, this is very profound to read this today, because I will tell you from my own perspective, not all of you are my age or thereabouts, coming up in the 60s and 70s, the great cloud over most of the populace at that time in our country and worldwide was the threat of nuclear disaster, whether it was nuclear war. And we'd shown the avarice and stupidity to do that in Hiroshima with the atomic war, but with nuclear war, so much more devastating. And then Chernobyl, Three Mile Island, and now Fukushima. I mean, nuclear power, not even to address the waste of nuclear power that we don't know where to put. The way radiation is, nuclear radiation is killing untold species in our oceans, which is our lifeblood. What I'm wanting to say is, at the time in the 70s and into the 80s, the existential threat to our existence was nuclear disaster. And as that seems to have faded somewhat in history, from a time where not only nuclear power itself was very threatening, we had a president who wanted to put nukes in space. I mean, it just got really insane, right? But lest we forget that threat has never left us. We just sort of put it on a shelf over one side, one shoulder, right? And we've been living under that veiled threat. But then climate change, which we've known about since, you know, the 50s, or maybe before, that's my ignorance, but I definitely knew about it growing up. You remember the combined ecology symbol with the peace symbol about the planet Earth Day, that got mixed up in that nuclear devastation discussion too, but it was its own movement. Out of those things came entire organizations, you know, Greenpeace and what's the justice one? Anyway, my point being is that today, young people growing into a world that hasn't shifted in or moved on from these threats, but we simply have accrued more and more to where it's just, you know, a meme. What's going to kill us today? The never-ending wars. You know, which, if you don't understand, you know, we used to say wars are about resources. We just want that country's oil. And that imperialism justified anything the United States did in the world. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that, because although I'm sure that's a component, that's a really nice propaganda way of hiding the fact that it's an egotistical move to power, to control the world. Remember when Bush Sr. said New World Order? Think about what that means. Think about what that means for your life. Anyway, all of this, whatever your politics, and I apologize if I'm hitting hot buttons, all I want to point out is we live in a very, very unstable world. I mean, nuclear disaster is just, you know, one note in a large symphony of threats on our livelihood, on our happiness, on our futures. So first of all, if you're a practicing Buddhist, which I assume you are if you're here, or at least curious about doing so, understand a couple of things. As a Buddhist, you're working diligently to invoke your Buddha. The Buddha we all share, this process of life, not anything counter to it, which is what we experience in samsara. This is our great fears and our worries, right? And those fears and worries, they motivate avarice. They motivate this egotistical, maniacal, power-hungry, right, thing. To a Buddhist, that's antithetical to life. The power of life is in life itself, the way it manifests, you know? But also, as practicing Buddhist, Myoho Renge Kyo is not only for our own enlightenment. This is the Bodhisattva way. This is the teaching of the Lotus Sutra. This is what Nichiren was trying desperately to get us all to understand that by self and environment, remember, by our own enlightenment, we affect, we influence immediately our environment. Not just the other people around us, certainly that, but the environment itself, all of it. So everything that we've accrued in existential threat to life itself is how we personally communicate with and address and affect, influence that. And so this is what we mean by Bodhisattva Way. When you practice to awaken yourself is the environment. So you are, singularly you are, practicing Buddha for the edification and support of life itself. And that's much greater than you singularly, because the singularly part is the samsaric obstacle. You are the heart, the blood flow, the lungs of humanity and all life itself. Through you and your invocation of Buddha, you change the world, the universe. I know that seems immense. I know it does. But have that kind of confidence, because that is what this practice is about. Of course your life will improve. Of course your life condition will rise. How could it not? If you knew, let's just play a game here. If you knew that when the alarm clock goes off in the morning, you could flick a switch, like those old light switches with the string on them, you could reach up and go click, and the sky would be blue, the air would be clean, all around you would be green, everyone would have a smile on their face, nobody would want for anything. How long would it take you to pull that string? Every time you chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, you're giving that string a tug. And you got to know that when that light comes on, it's not just you that benefits from the light. The light goes everywhere. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I hope that visualization helps some of you, or maybe it sparks a thought in your... I just want you to be deeply inspired by your own practice. Understand that it's critical that you personalize it about you, but understand that as you do so, like a pebble dropped in a quiet lake, the ripples go out from you everywhere. That's amazing. That's immense. That's not ego. It's closer to responsibility, but I don't even want you to attach that to it. I just want you to realize how immense your practice is. Gain confidence from that. Okay? Thanks again. Appreciate your watching these. Remember, you can download them, the Buddhahood podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget about the resource website, and use the comments to let me know what maybe my site is lacking, or other information you'd like to know about, or your success stories. It's just great to hear from you all. And thanks again. I'll see you soon. Bye.